King Louis XII of France said, "Nothing smells so sweet as the dead body of your enemy." When we've been wronged by others, and I'm sure all of us here have, there are powerful emotions within us, aren't there, wanting to strike back. Some people say, "Don't get mad, get even." Dirty Harry says, "Go ahead, make my day." Sorry if I didn't get the accent right. There is a sweet smell of revenge. But for the followers of Jesus Christ, one of the sweetest words is not revenge, but forgiveness. Forgiveness. We just sung about it. Jesus taught us to pray in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:12. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Authentic followers of Jesus Christ, we rejoice that we are forgiven. We heard some of the testimonies this morning with the baptism, rejoicing that we are forgiven. Yet, sometimes we who love to be forgiven by God find it very, very difficult to forgive others, those who've hurt us, those who've maligned us, those who've inflicted pain on us and on those that we love. C.S. Lewis said, "Forgiveness is a beautiful word until you have something to forgive." Now, this message is for you. No one can say this is not for me. I want you to experience God's forgiveness, if you've never experienced that, and in return to reach out and to forgive others. This morning, are you struggling to forgive someone? An employer who wrongfully fired you? A girl at school who has spread lies about you? A husband, a wife who's been unfaithful to you? A friend or acquaintance who has slandered you, gossiped about you? A business partner who deceived you? A best friend who betrayed you? A parent who abused you and then walked out on you? A son, a daughter who has rejected you? The hurt is very deep, isn't it? The wounds have festered for a long, long time, and the bitterness within you is pervasive. And quite honestly, you feel you cannot forgive. You may not even want to forgive. In the series, With Wings Like Eagles, we come this morning to this subject, a very important subject, a difficult subject, unable to forgive. I want to think of some situations when we think we are unable to forgive. First of all, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I think Pastor Hathaway was quoting it as I was back there. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32, which are very, very key on this subject. Paul writes, "Let all bitterness..." Are you listening? Some of you this morning are got a lot of bitterness. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger..." Any angry men here? Punching holes in the walls of your house? Hitting your kids? Abusing your wife? Cursing? Swearing? "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." You say, but he's writing to believers in Jesus Christ. That's right. Believers in Jesus Christ can act very maliciously. "Put it away," says Paul. Here is the positive. "Be kind to one another." Are you a kind person? Those who know you describe you as kind. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted." When we're unforgiving, we're hard-hearted, we're bitter. "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Yes, we are unable to forgive when we have not first received God's forgiveness. Did you notice the standard of this forgiveness that Paul describes here in Ephesians 4? He writes, "as God in Christ forgave you." If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you know about forgiveness because you have been forgiven. Again, Jesus says, "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." And every single one of us, without exception here, needs to be forgiven. The story is told. It's just a story. Don't look for theological accuracy in the story. But the story is told of the Englishman, the Irishman, and the Scotsman who died on the same day and were standing at the pearly gates. And the angel at the pearly gates said to the Englishman, "What do you have to say?" He said, "Well, I do have to confess." He said, "I've had tremendous resentment and even hatred against the Irish and the Scots. They think they're so superior to everyone. But I confess that, and I need mercy." Angel said, "Very interesting. You can come in." Says to the Irishman, "What about you?" Paddy said, "Well, it's true. I have thought I was superior to the Englishman and the Scotsman. He's obviously superior to me, and I've really resented that. Really resented it. But I'm confessing it. I need mercy." "Interesting," said the angel. "You could come in." Said to the Scotsman, "What about you?" He said, "Well, it's true." He said, "I am superior to the Irishman and the Englishman." An angel said, "Really?" He said, "Isn't that pride?" "No," said the Scotsman, "I'm just stating a fact. And I was taught that the greatest sin is false modesty." Angel said, "That's all you've got to say?" Scotsman said, "Yeah, I can't think of anything else at the moment." Angel shakes his head, says, "I need to check you out." Goes to have a word with St. Peter. When he comes back, the Scotsman has gone, and so have the pearly gates. Yes, all of us, irrespective of our nationality, all of us need forgiveness. The Bible makes that very clear. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Where do we receive this forgiveness? Did you listen to the testimonies? Invariably, their testimonies pointed to Jesus Christ, pointed to the cross, because it is at the cross that we receive forgiveness of our sins. Because there, and it's difficult to grasp, isn't it, that the total debt of our sin is paid. So if you're going to experience God's forgiveness, you must first understand the depth of your own failure and selfishness and sin. Have you ever come to that point in your life where you've repented of your sin? Where you realize you need the forgiveness of God? That is the gospel. Repent and believe in the gospel. There must be personal repentance before God, an acknowledgement that you have sinned. Yes, your sin has impacted other people, but above all, it is a sin against God. And can you say here, as you sit in the sanctuary this morning, that God has forgiven all of my sins? Can you say that? You see, the greater you understand God's forgiveness of your sins, the more you will forgive others. Jesus said on one occasion, Luke 7, verse 47, "But he who is forgiven little loves little." That is, if you have a cheap view of God's forgiveness, I suggest to you that you don't know much about forgiving others. People often say, I've heard it over and over again, "I know that God has forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself." That common statement shows a lack of understanding of God's forgiveness. Forgiveness is between two people. You don't forgive yourself. The reason you feel you can't forgive yourself is that there's some idol in your life. Instead of God being the top priority, some idol in your life is making it difficult to receive the total forgiveness of God. Perhaps your own expectations, perhaps your pride, perhaps the expectations of parents. And you have up till now not understood that God's forgiveness is total. When God in Christ forgives us through the blood of Jesus, our sins are completely gone, 100% gone, deleted, erased. God says, "I will forgive your sins and your lawless deeds no more. Remembered no more." No, it's not that God hasn't a good memory. It is a graphic way of saying that forgiveness is total. The psalmist says that God separates our sins as far as the east is from the west, infinite distance. Micah says in that beautiful verse in Micah 7, verse 12, "You will cast our sins into the depth of the sea." Another graphic way of saying that our sins are totally forgiven. A couple of those being baptized quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17. "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, gone." Where your sins are gone, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and God will never, ever, ever bring them before you. Why? Because of the power of the forgiveness of the cross. The blood of Jesus, his son, says the Apostle John, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? That you can be forgiven. You say, I've done some terrible things in your life. I quite believe it. You have done some terrible things. You've done things that you're ashamed of, things none of us know about, your secrets. But when God in Christ forgives you, he forgives you 100%. And if you have not received this forgiveness, I understand when you find it difficult to forgive others. We're also unable to forgive when we're proud and unloving. Colossians chapter 3, as Paul writes, again to Christians, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, is anyone ticked off with someone here at Calvary Church? You might even be ticked off with me. I don't even know it. You got a complaint against someone? Your wife, your husband, your children, your boss, your employee, your friends? If anyone has a complaint against anyone, what are we to do? Forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Again, there is the standard of forgiveness. I am to reflect on the magnificent grace of God in forgiving me. If you're unable to forgive others, I suggest that your pride has come. Before you point out the complaints of someone else, take a look at yourself. You see, pride makes us reluctant to admit our own faults, failures, and sins. When we're proud, we're more concerned at being right and justifying our position rather than seeking the resolution of the conflict that we have between ourselves and that person. Self-righteous pride, a lack of love for the individual who has offended us, make it very difficult to forgive. Now, isn't it the case that when you truly love someone, you don't find it that difficult to forgive? Peter writes, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. When you love that person and your family, you don't bring up every little fault and complaint. I mean, life, you'd be complaining all the time, right? Because you live with imperfect people like yourself. But when you love someone, it covers a multitude of sins. You know that as a parent, that you want to forgive. You seek the best for them because you love them. We're also, of course, unable to forgive when we desire revenge. That sweet word that King Louis XII seemed to like, the sweet smell of revenge, of vengeance. Remember, we studied the book of Romans, Romans 12, where Paul quotes the Old Testament scriptures and says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Why don't you leave it to the Lord? You say, this person has done wrong, they've injured me, and they're getting away with it. That may well be the case, but it's not for you to take revenge on that person. The desire for revenge, to get even, to vindicate ourselves, it's a very powerful emotion, isn't it? And when you have that sense of vengeance, you don't want to forgive the person. You don't want them to get off. You want them to pay for it. You want them to hurt as you have been hurt. But when we harbor hate and unforgiveness, we're nevertheless like God. Listen to Jesus, Matthew 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. In the fifth century, John Chrysostom said, nothing causes us to so nearly resemble God as the forgiveness of injuries. When we forgive, yes, the person doesn't deserve it. I concede that. Yes, the person has hurt you. Yes, you have the sense of injustice. I get that. But when we forgive from the heart, we're like God. We're like sons of God. So instead of plotting evil against that person, trying to vindicate yourself, bless them, repay them. You say, really? Yeah, that's the teaching of the New Testament. That's the teaching of Jesus. Repay evil with good. President Abraham Lincoln said, the best way to destroy your enemy is to make him your friend. Not much of that in Washington today, is there? The best way to destroy your enemy is to make him your friend. In other words, love your enemies. You can either be conquered by evil or you can conquer it. Now, you will know if you've truly forgiven the person because you'll let go of that desire for revenge. You'll leave it to the Lord. When we've forgiven the person in the biblical sense, we stop telling others what a terrible person it is who's wronged us. We don't tell others. We don't bring the offense up next time we say the person a year later after we've forgiven and say, I remember you. Oh, I forgive you, but I know how bad you are. And we want to blacken their name. We want to keep thinking about it. Don't do that. The story is told of two friends, been friends for many, many years, Joe and Bill, and Joe was dying. And for the last 3 or 4 years of their friendship, they had had tremendous animosity. They'd had a huge argument, and they were both rather stubborn men, and neither of them had forgiven each other. They hadn't even asked about it. They just ignored each other. But as Joe is dying, he calls for Bill and feels, I really need to get right with this man before I go into eternity. So the men talk, and they forgive one another. What a beautiful scene. Old friends making up, making it right. And then as Bill is leaving Joe's room, Joe says to him, well, Bill says, Joe, that was very beautiful that you forgave me. And old Joe said, yes, but remember, if I get better, it doesn't count. You ever felt like that? That's not forgiveness from the heart, is it? That's still holding on to it, trying to justify yourself with your moral superiority. You think you're so much better than that person who has injured you. Yeah, there are many situations when forgiveness is difficult. It's very difficult when we've been hurt badly. Some of you have been hurt badly in unimaginable ways. You've been abused. The injury is very, very deep. It's gone over, it's gone on perhaps for years. The offense is very wicked. It's despicable. A despicable act has been inflicted on you, perhaps even a criminal act. And it's very difficult to forgive that individual. What are you to do? As I say, you have to come to the cross of Christ. On the cross, God provided for your forgiveness. And you need to understand that you are the chief of sinners, as Paul says. And that God demonstrated his love toward us. Didn't we hear this in one of the testimonies, Romans 5? That God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, God has forgiven you. So forgive that person. Release him or her. Don't try to get even. Leave that with God. Don't try to hurt the person. Forgive them from your heart. You say, well, I've forgiven that person over and over again. And how many times do you have to keep forgiving someone? It makes it very difficult to forgive someone when they keep injuring you the same way over and over again. I understand that. How many times are we expected to forgive someone? But before answering that question, I have a question for you. How many times have you asked God for forgiveness of your sin? How many times? Many, many times. And the beauty of the gospel is that when you come over and over again in humble repentance to the Lord, confessing your sin, turning from your sin, God doesn't say to you, go away, you've sinned once too much. A month ago, you came to me and asked for forgiveness. Go away. He doesn't. The scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When Peter asked in Matthew 18, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? How often does that brother or sister at Calvary Church have to offend you that you continue to forgive them? As many as 7 times? That's a long time, isn't it? To forgive someone 7 times? Jesus said to him, I don't say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. And if you're counting, I would suggest you're not acting in the spirit of forgiveness. You have no control over the person who's offended you. Leave them with the Lord. Your responsibility is to forgive them as God has forgiven you in Christ. Perhaps the most difficult situation to forgive is when the person who has offended you is unrepentant. The person doesn't admit his or her wrong. If someone comes to us and says, John, I've offended you. What I did was totally wrong. Please forgive me. I think most of us who are followers of Jesus Christ in these circumstances, we offer forgiveness joyfully. But what about the person who doesn't admit they've done wrong? Can you forgive someone if they're not truly repentant? That's a tough question, isn't it? We have to distinguish between the granting of forgiveness from the heart and the experiencing and receiving of forgiveness. You cannot experience forgiveness unless you acknowledge your wrongdoing. You can't experience the forgiveness of God unless you repent of your sin and ask for His forgiveness. If you continue to think that you're all right, that you don't need God's forgiveness, you go deeper and deeper into your sin. But also, even though the person may not receive the forgiveness, Jesus taught in Matthew 18 of forgiveness from the heart. That this person who has never come to me and said, John, I offended you, please forgive me, I can still forgive them from the heart. I can leave them to the Lord. So that bitterness and anger and resentment against that person has gone. In other words, love is offered in the midst of evil. The supreme example, of course, is on the cross. Our Savior, spotless, blameless, the sinless Son of God is on the cross, and He is atoning for the sins of the world. And what does He say then on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Were they asking for His forgiveness? No. Forgiveness, because they know not what they do. Now, if there's no admission of the wrong, there can't be restoration, there can't be reconciliation, obviously, but we can still forgive from the heart. Brother, sister, why are you not doing that? You say it's very difficult to forgive. The situation I'm thinking about just now, John, that person doesn't deserve it. Of course they don't deserve it. We don't make someone earn forgiveness, do we? You really want them to crawl? No, forgiveness is a gift. And we don't need to wait to forgive someone until we no longer feel the hurt or the wrong. Biblical forgiveness is not a prisoner of our emotions, but is a servant of our will. It's a choice. I will forgive this brother, this sister, this individual who has harmed me because I have received the forgiveness of God. Don't be a collector of wrongs. Don't be bitter or vengeful. Have you met people like this? They become really boring, don't they? They're always going way, way back, 20, even 30 years. Yes, someone wronged them. They've never got over it. They've never forgiven them. And the person may be dead. The person may be going on with their life. The person may be totally unaware that they have offended this person, but they go back and back, and they want to talk about it and talk about it. Don't do that. Don't do that. You see, the key for the miracle of forgiveness is grace. And grace has no limits. Obey God's command to forgive. Is there someone that you must forgive? I said this is for everyone. Is there a friend, a parent, a former employer, employee, a child, a spouse, former spouse, a sibling, brother and sister in Christ? You've nursed your wounds too long. You've held on to your moral superiority too long. It's time to let go of your bitterness. It's time for you to obey Scripture. It's time for you to come humbly to the cross and once again understand and rejoice in the magnificence of God's forgiveness of you. I'm asking you to come and receive God's forgiveness. What's the main point this morning? We just sung it as before I got up. Receive God's forgiveness and forgive others. Someone says, what was John Monroe preaching about on Sunday? At least get this. He said, we are to receive the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ and then to forgive others. Listen again to the scripture. Take it personally. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Today, God's forgiveness is offered freely to you. It flows from the cross of Christ. Some of you have not yet received the forgiveness of God in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that in a moment, all of your sin can be erased, covered eternally by the blood of Jesus Christ? The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ on the cross bore your sin, paid the price for the debt of your sin at Calvary's cross. There's a story, perhaps it's a legend, I don't know, of a father and son in Spain who were estranged. They had a tremendous falling out, and the son left home, and the years passed, and there's no communication, and then the father decided to set out to find his son, and he searched for months to no avail. Finally, in a last desperate effort to find his son, the father put an ad in a Madrid newspaper. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of this newspaper office at noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." On Saturday, 800 Pacos showed up. Do you know how many people long for forgiveness? Some of you would love to be reconciled to a brother, to a sister, a father, a mother, a grandfather, a friend. Someone's waiting for you to forgive them. Will you ask for their forgiveness? Will you reach out to that person today, make a call, contact them, get together and say, you know, this has gone on too long. Humble yourself as you have experienced the matchless grace of God. You say it's difficult. I know it's difficult. Come to the cross. You say, I haven't got the strength. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Will you come today, now, receive God's forgiveness? And will you, in God's name, reach out to that person, forgive them, ask for them for forgiveness? And when you do so, we are like our Father in heaven. And we're showing that as his sons and daughters, we who have received that forgiveness are men and women and boys and girls of forgiveness. What a transformation that would be in this church, in our society, when we're kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Will you pray with me? Many of you are thinking of an individuals that you need to be reconciled with, that you need to forgive. May God give you the strength, and may you do it. And may some of you, many of you, come to the cross and receive forgiveness, for the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word of forgiveness. We don't deserve it. It's all of your grace. Thank you for the perfection of our Savior as the Lamb of God. He bore our sin on himself on the tree. And now, as we cry out to you, we can experience the forgiveness and be saved by your grace. Help us, Father. May your Spirit convict us. May your Spirit give us tender hearts, hearts of compassion, not trying to vindicate ourselves or justify ourselves, but humbly receiving forgiveness and forgiving others. And this we ask in Christ's wonderful name. Amen.